You're listening to KRCU. I'm Dan Woods. I'm joined in the studios by Dr. Carlos Vargas, president of Southeast Missouri State University. He stops by once a month to update us on things happening here at the institution and in higher education broadly. Dr. Vargas, welcome once again to the studio.
Thank you very much, and it's good to be here.
It's good to have you again.
One more semester here.
Here we go, the beginning of the new one.
Yes.
What did you think of the eclipse? We haven't talked about that before we went on.
That's true. It was a wonderful experience. Everybody that I've talked to was so pleased with it. We had all kinds of events, and all that was free, by the way, for the public, something that other institutions didn't do that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We did. We did do that, and not only well, we had a lot of people in the stadium, in Hauk Stadium there. We had probably over 3,000 K through 12 students.
Wow.
A total of probably about 4,000 people there doing different kinds of things. There was a launching of two high-altitude balloons by NASA, the space agency. We had about 9 solar telescopes, so people could go down to the field and observe the sun through the telescope. And we had Dr. Michio Kaku spend a day with us. And at the end of the day, he actually gave a lecture to start our speaker series. And he talked about the science and the impact that it's having on our lives.
Wow.
It was really incredible.
A great way to start the semester. We were talking here about all the freshmen that were starting. They'll never forget their first day of class.
That's
at Southeast, right. And the eclipse.
That's right? One way of making them remember. You're right. And no, I think it was fantastic. There was some concern about the weather. The weather was absolutely wonderful. And if anything, it was a little bit too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But we had plenty of water in the stadium. We also, by the way, I must be fair, we also had some really nice activities at the River Campus with music playing and activities going on. Of course, I couldn't be there because I was here.
Yeah.
With our speaker, but it was very nice. I've talked to many people, and I just really haven't heard anybody express any concerns at all. The Notre Dame High School actually came here, and they brought a couple of telescopes themselves because they have a nice observatory,
yeah,
too. So it's very nice.
What a great way to start the semester.
Very, very nice, yes.
Well, speaking of that, let's talk a little bit about the headcount and the number of students. What is the early? I know this is early. This is the first week of classes, but how are we looking on our headcount as far as beginning this new semester?
Well, we're about the same in terms of our new first-time freshmen. We're about the same as we were the last time. We may be about 35 or so students less than last year. So overall, we're pleased with it because you may remember last year we had a 9% increase in our incoming freshman class. So we're almost there. We did have an increase in our transfers from last year, which I think is very nice. We also have had an increase in our online enrollment, about 6% or so compared to last year. Now, of course, we have had some difficulties with international students. And, of course, because they're international, a large majority of them come for graduate school, so our graduate incoming numbers were not as high as we
okay.
would have liked them to be. So we have probably about 725 or so total enrolled students at this point, international enrolled students. But, you know, overall, I think at the national level, there's the numbers circulating are about 25% or so decline from this time last fall at the national level.
Nationally, because of the travel ban and all those other things, I guess, are all
and
playing into that.
I think it's been some things that they observe in the U.S., but also their own countries, in some cases, have reduced the support that they offer to their own students. And so it's all combining, and mm-hmm. the net result has been that. Now, I'll tell you, we are actually internally, we have had this initiative on internationalization of the campus, and but of the university itself, and we're doing very well in that respect. So, you know, part of the problem we had is that the visas that the students were applying for in many cases were not approved. So we did have students actually interested in coming to the university.
Okay.
But their visas were not approved for reasons that I really couldn't speculate on. But but so which means I think that our draw is there. I mean, the students do want to come here, and I'm hoping that next year that problem may be less diminished, and so that we can recover from that dip that we have seen this time. So
let's talk a little about the budget. We talk about it pretty much every time that we mm-hmm. visit, but it's something that's, I know it's an ongoing thing, and you may want to do just a quick recap for folks just on sort of the past several months and where we are now, and talk about maybe what we know about the future.
Sure. I think that's a good idea. In June, we had the Board of Regents approve a $116.5 million operating budget, and we had $37.4 million auxiliary operating budgets. You know, auxiliaries like the residence halls and things like
and
that.
And KRCU,
actually. Mm-hmm. So in that budget, there was included a 2.8% increase to tuition and fees. That happened. So you may remember, too, that that budget was based on initially on the fact that the governor had proposed a budget cut to higher education of 9%. The legislature came together and proposed a 6.58% cut. The governor approved and signed that bill. However, he then went ahead and did a withholding, which he can, and the withholding ended up being such that we ended up with essentially a 9% cut at the end of the day.
Let me ask you something about withholding. Can the governor reinstate the money at some point if he wanted to? Could he release it?
He could if the reason why the withholding takes place is the basic reason is that the revenue coming into the state is not high enough to satisfy the projections that were made. So that when the state develops a budget, they assume a certain amount of growth in okay. the revenue. If that growth does not materialize, then they don't have the money to cover all the expenses, and so they may have to withhold some of that money. So if for some reason at the end of the year, as the year progresses, the revenue somehow increases and more money comes into the state, the governor could at that point say, oh, so we do have a little bit more money, so I'm going to allocate it here and there and there. So what happened here is that the projections were higher than the actual revenue coming in, so he had to do a withholding, and we ended up with, at the end of the day, with a 9% cut for this year. And so, we had put in place a plan that considered an 8.5%, sorry for all these numbers, but at 8.5% cut. Mm-hmm. So what happened is because we ended up with a 9% cut, we had to come up with an additional amount of money. It's about $240,000 or so that we needed to come up with. So we have a plan that we developed from the beginning that is a multi-year plan. It's 2 years, essentially, that we are going to be using to absorb the cuts that we received. Now, the fact that we ended up with this additional $240,000 because we ended up with a 9% cut instead of the 8.5% means that we are going to have to, again, look into the institution and see, what are the things we're going to have to do. The cut is significant, and we're just going to have to see how we do that. As a result of the cuts, just to be more specific, with the original budget prior to the latest withholding, we had identified that we needed $4.05 million in expense reductions at the university. So we're going to have to come up with a little bit more for to be able to be balanced.
And that's over the next 2 years?
We need to do it for this year, but we may have to cover that this year with some one-time monies, mm-hmm. what we call, and then absorb it in the budget for next year. Because some of the cuts that we are looking at cannot be taken immediately, as you can imagine. In some cases, it's not possible to just you know, you don't just flip a switch,
and
stop some expenses that you have. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have to go into another year, and depending on how bad things are, then some institutions have to go into a third year to do that. But that's where we are. So we are going to have to do some things, even with the cuts at this point. We actually had to change some employee benefits, salary and benefit savings from replacing existing and future vacant faculty and staff positions, and budget reductions from operations across the institution. So these are, in some cases, these are technical details, perhaps a bit too detailed, but it just and shows you that we actually had to go and take cuts in areas that we would have preferred not to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we are at this point. Up to now, before the $240,000 or so, the plan that we presented to the Board of Regents in June did not contemplate any loss of filled positions. We eliminated 13 positions that were vacant, so nobody really lost a job. And we have tried to protect the faculty complement because we realize how important that the faculty are to be able to offer the courses for the students to progress. So so that's more or less where we are. You know, as you may remember, one of the things, for example, we did, we didn't do any salary increases for anybody across the institution. That was a measure that we discussed. We have a budget review process here that is very transparent, and so staff, faculty, and students, administration, we all discuss the situation we have, and so everybody at the end of the day knows, you know, what the options are and what the difficulties are in implementing one as opposed to another. So in that sense, I think people understand when we do something why we're doing it. There's not a situation where people think, you know, where did this come from? We openly discuss these matters.
And communicate broadly.
We're trying to, yes.
So now, I guess there's still even a possibility there could be more cuts in this fiscal year, which ends next. I mean, right? Isn't that a possibility, or is that even?
No, it is.
Because that would be an additional.
Absolutely, yes. I mean,
challenge.
I don't want to be pessimistic, but certainly the possibility, the potential is there for that. I over the years, I think we have moved from situations where once you got your budget, you pretty much knew that was it, that there was not going to be any change, to increasingly over the years, and I've been in three different states in the last few years. Over the years, what's happened is that it's become more possible that halfway through the year, the state will say, well, sorry, we told you you were going to get so much money, but we're not only going to be able to give you this much. So it's difficult really to plan for something like that.
It's very hard to do.
So it becomes, makes it a very challenging thing.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to graduation and retention rates. That's one of the things that you really have challenged the institution to do. And I'm just curious, as we're in that process, how are we doing overall on achieving those goals?
Right. Well, we don't have the official numbers for this particular year because, as you know, the numbers that we compared with last year are going to be official here 4 weeks into the semester. We're basically at the very beginning, the first, second, third year, the day of the semester. So the numbers we have right now are not the actual official ones at the end. But as we stand right now, we have been able to increase our retention rate probably by about 0.5%. We're very pleased with that because that means that more students that were here for the first time in the fall semester last year are going to be returning to the university. That signals, of course, that the students are interested in continuing, that they're able in continuing their studies, but also it means that the university will get a little bit extra revenue that it wasn't planning on before. So that's why retention is so critical. It's critical because it signals that we are, on the one hand, responding to the expectations of the students when they come here, so they're willing to come back. And then on the other hand, it helps us with the financial situation that we have. Now, graduation rate, again, is going to be the same thing. We're going to have to wait. As you know, graduation rate is measured in terms of after 4 years or after 6 years. So our institutional research office right now is in the process of working those numbers out to be able to confirm whether that has been rate has moved in any direction at this point. But we have continued to work very hard to make sure that we facilitate the process of the students going through their degree here to make sure that they graduate in a timely basis.
So by the time if we visit next month, we'll probably have better numbers. We can revisit this, and you'll have the hard data by then.
That's correct. I believe so.
So that's what we'll do.
Very good.
Okay, so what are some things that you would like to see happen here at Southeast this semester? Are there any goals that you sort of have, short-term goals, to see this semester as president?
Well, they're short-term, but actually they're long-term too. What I want to see happen is to continue to focus on the students. We should not take our eyes away from that. If you do, then the gains that you have all of a sudden disappear. So it's very important to continue focusing on the students, to help them sort of remain motivated to study. Students sometimes get too involved in activities that are maybe extracurricular, and so that sometimes takes away from their performance in the academic area. I always tell students you need to connect with others. You need to participate in organizations, student organizations, clubs, sports events, athletics, and so on. But don't do it at the expense of your academic work, because that can really be detrimental. So we need to continue to do that. We are continuing to, and that's what I want to see, is increased emphasis on connecting with our surrounding institutions, community colleges, for transfer students to come to the university, and to do a better job at recruiting students, to communicate effectively to the students why we believe that they will be well served coming to Southeast Missouri State University. At the same time, internally, we want to continue to make sure that, focusing on the students means offering the courses that they need so that they can progress, being responsive to the needs, making sure that our business processes do not become an obstacle for the students, that they feel that we are trying to make things easier for the students, not just easier for us as responsible for the institution. So those are the kinds of things. And I could go into some more details, but basically our focus on the students has to continue to be there.
All right. And you've been here for just over 2 years now at Southeast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was curious, what accomplishments, what initiatives are you most proud of? Mm-hmm. And then what might you want to work on some more?
Mm-hmm. Well, I must confess that one of the ones that I'm most proud of is our focus on students. I believe, and of course, you might say that I'm tooting my own horn here, but I do believe that the students are observing that we really are focusing on them. I think that they see that we are trying to do what we need to do to be able to help them be successful. I think that they realize that we are trying to listen to them and that we are taking steps when they express concerns or where they see something that is not operating or working well. I mean, those things always happen, unfortunately, that it's difficult to have a situation where nobody ever encounters a problem that they are not causing. So we need to be very receptive to making those changes and showing to the students that if some inadvertently we created a problem, that we are going to be fixing it. So that's one that I'm happy with. I hear, as I go around and I talk to students, faculty and staff, and members of the community, I hear a positive tone in their voice. And I think that that's very important. In the worst of cases, that's actually a good sign. In the best of cases, that is out there communicated to other prospective students that they may then say, you know, that may be the place for me to go if you feel that way about it. You know, it's not unusual to have somebody come here and say, well, why did you come here? And they say, well, because my friend came here. So very often they sort of influence each other. And so if somebody says, no, I'm not going to go there, well, then the other one says, well, I'm not going to go either. So it is important to do that. I'm very pleased and proud of the new programs we have put in place. The Geographic Information Science, a technical program. We have put in place the Unmanned Aircraft Systems, which is a drone program, the first and only degree at this point in Missouri. We have reviewed the university studies curriculum. Normally, you refer to it as a general education curriculum. And we have removed some obstacles. When I talk about removing obstacles for the students, we have removed some obstacles so that a gen ed curriculum that the state of Missouri normally expects to consist of 42 hours, we had added 9 hours to it, which of course means that students take a little bit longer, have to spend more money in it. And we did an assessment of that, and we felt that it was something that we could eliminate without affecting the quality of the degree that we offer. And so at this point, that's an example of something we've done. I'm happy and pleased with how the different offices are increasingly working on. They see retention as an important element. There are plans that the deans in every college have put in place, and the departments, the faculty, are working on that. We have a sort of master advisor plan that was developed for faculty so that we help them advise students better. And really, when I say better, it's not necessarily because they are advising them better in their discipline. It's really more providing the faculty with information and tools that allow them to help the students with things that may also be not necessarily related to their major or to their classes, but really how do they deal with the business issue that they have, with a financial aid, who do they talk to, the register office, who do they talk to resolve a problem, or, you know, those kinds of things.
But pointing them to the right person to talk to for an issue, which sometimes especially if you're new, you don't know.
Exactly. So, those are the kinds of things. Again, we have become very active in the community. We have become very active at the state level, working with other institutions, being in touch with the legislature, and to the degree that we can with the governor's office also, expressing and telling, sharing who we are and how important it is for us to get, the support from the state, because that really translates into support for the community, for the region, which is what we are charged with helping with, yeah.
Okay, but before we go, I want to ask you one other thing about the speaker series. I know Dr. Kaku was the lead-off guest for the speaker series. Mm-hmm. What are the plans for the? I know we've not announced everyone yet. I know there's a Martin Luther King speaker, junior speaker, that's on the website, but there's more to come, right?
There is more to come, yes. And so we are right now in the process of updating that. So I encourage people to go to our website, the cima.edu/speakers, and they'll be able to see, who's coming and what we have planned for the rest of the year, yeah.
And, of course, we'll be announcing those on KRCU once that information is out there.
That's right. We'll give you first bits on that.
All right. Dr. Vargas, thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.